Okay, pursuant to Government Code Section 54953E and the State Declared Emergency, this meeting of the Board of Library Trustees will be conducted exclusively through teleconference and Zoom video conference. The COVID-19 state of emergency continues to directly impact the ability of the members to meet safely in person and presents imminent risks to the health of attendees. Therefore, no physical meeting location will be available. Please be mindful that the teleconference will be recorded as any Board of Library Trustees meeting is recorded, and all of the rules of procedure and decorum will apply for Board of Library Trustees meetings conducted by teleconference or video conference. This meeting will be conducted in accordance with the Brown Act, Government Code Section 54953. Excuse me, any member of the public may attend this meeting. Questions regarding this matter may be addressed to Eve Franklin, Administrative Secretary. The Board of Library Trustees may take action related to any subject listed on the agenda. Okay, Eve, could we call the roll, please?
Amy Roth.
Here.
Sorry. Sophie Hahn.
Excuse me.
Sophie? Diane Davenport?
Here.
John Soloski?
Present.
And Beverly Green?
Here.
Sophie, are you there?
She was here a minute ago.
Right.
No, okay.
I think she's just taken offline for a second.
Okay.
We have a quorum. Let's move ahead.
We could go ahead. I agree. It's time for public comment on non-agenda matters. Do we have anyone signed up?
Not at this time.
Okay. Comments from library unions. Is anybody here representing the unions?
No.
Okay. Comments from the Board of Library Trustees. If you'd like to comment, raise your hand, please. Diane, you have your hand up?
Yeah, I was just delighted to see in the director's report the amount of new staff that have come on board and are coming on board. And I know that there's an all staff meeting coming in July, and I hope there's a way that some of those people can get introduced since we don't get to see them on site and would love to welcome them to our library system. So congratulations, Tess, on the work that you and the staff are doing. I really look forward to meeting some of these people that we pulled from other places and have come from inside, as a matter of fact, and it's going to be a really exciting time. Thank you.
Anybody else have their hand up? I'll make a quick comment that the Library Foundation Authors Dinner was a great success, mm-hmm. I believe. It mm-hmm. was at the Claremont instead of at the library, and that actually, due to the weather, was actually worked out very nicely. It was beautiful. The food was great. The authors were great. It's a chance to see many, many people of the library support community. And it was really, really a pleasure. I had a great time. And I went up to talk to Tess, and we realized it was the first time we think that we had actually seen each other face to face, which is kind of amazing, but says a lot. So that was great. It's always good and gets better every year. So good. Anybody else want to make a comment? Okay. I have one other thing to say before the consent calendar. during our closed session on June 1st, it start from 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. Director Hahn made a motion to place on the agenda of the next board meeting, which would be in July, a vote on the approval of a raise for Director Mayer based on a salary analysis of local comparables for the position. Let's see, sorry, I'm losing my place here. Diane seconded. Director, brain freeze. Director Davenport seconded, and the vote was unanimous in favor. So that is what happened at the closed session. And from there, we can move to the consent calendar. Okay, let's see. Okay, there are, so there are two sets of minutes to approve, May 4th and May 23rd. And then there's the revision of the two lending specialist classification, which I believe we've already been informed about. So can we have a motion? Oh, Diane, is your hand up?
I'll move the consent calendar.
Okay, do we have a second?
Second.
Thank you, John. Okay, can we call the roll, please?
Amy Roth?
Yes.
Sophie Hahn?
Yes.
Diane Davenport?
Yes.
Beverly Green?
Yes.
And John Soloski?
Yes.
Okay. The motion's carried to, for the consent calendar. The action calendar for tonight, it's the revised bulletin board. Oh dear, board is misspelled. Board and free printed policy. Or it could be B-O-R-E-D, I suppose. Yeah. Tess, do you want to say something about that?
Yes, I'm sorry. That's mortifying if there's a typo. I apologize for that. That should not happen. As we've discussed, we will be systematically reviewing all of our various policies that govern sort of both. There are some related to personnel, and then there are, of course, some related to public use of the facilities. And of course, our library, the central library, and the branches were closed to inside access for a considerable amount of time. And now that we've been providing indoor access and people are actually having in-person events again, we're seeing the request for flyers and just paper literature, which we had not seen for quite a while. And so we're just needing to review not only with staff, but wanting to make sure that the policy is in place for the public in terms of the guidelines that we establish for the library with respect to making posting space for events available to the public, to the community, as well as to the library and the city of Berkeley. And as a part of this review process, we had some discussions about this in the context of our racial equity team. We talked about it in our library council, which is all of our supervisors and managers. We have also conducted reviews of neighboring systems policies. And we had a very robust discussion about this policy, actually. And I won't go into a lot of detail, but the core of the discussion was about libraries, right? And the fact that libraries actually aren't neutral spaces. That was something that we used to say, you know, a longer time ago, that libraries were neutral. And since there has been more discussion about the historic roots of libraries and other government institutions and the role that they played in perpetuating racism, I think people understand that as an institution, the library is no more neutral than any other government institution. But I think that with respect to the way that the library manages content that's explicitly political, there is still a role for the library to try to maintain neutrality, right? And so we had a good discussion amongst this in our team, because we had to differentiate and say that while the library is not neutral and we do need to address the historic roots of how and why the library isn't neutral, at the same time, the value and principle that the library does not create space for people to advocate for specific political action still stands. And we believe that that's still a really important component of our values. And that was something that every other neighboring system continues to incorporate. So our policy includes a statement that we will not allow for any kind of political content. And then it goes into sort of more detail describing what that is. And we have maintained that language because we believe that it's appropriate. It's also in keeping with the City of Berkeley expectations around the way that employees conduct themselves and are not to become sort of involved in explicitly political matters on company time, right? In the context of working for the City of Berkeley. But we did add the clause that you see that speaks to non-discrimination, because we believe that that's still protected under federal law, that it still is allowable in terms of the both upholding First Amendment rights and also upholding people's rights to be in a discrimination-free environment. And so we felt that it was important to introduce that language because it's a slightly stronger statement, whereas we used to have no statement about that at all. There was sort of no comment on whether or not if somebody had something, for example, in a flyer that appeared to suggest discrimination against a protected class, we didn't used to have any kind of language around that. So we are proposing to introduce that language because we believe that it supports the library's value of inclusion while still upholding the library's value around First Amendment and protecting free speech. So that was a little bit long-winded, but I would welcome your questions or comments if you had specific questions just with respect to what I was just describing.
I don't see any hands up. So I think that's a free pass for that. Okay, there are still no hands up. So can we, I'm sorry, I lost my page for a second there. So the resolution, number bulletin board and free printed matter policy updates. Can we have a motion to approve?
I will move it.
Okay, John, thank you. And a second? Anyone? I'll second. And then can we call the roll, please?
Amy Roth?
Yes.
Sophie Hahn?
Yes.
Diane Davenport?
Yes.
Beverly Green?
Yes.
And John Soloski?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Next on the agenda are the...
Before we go on, Amy...
I'm sorry, John. I didn't...
No problem.
Okay.
I didn't have my hand up. It's okay.
Well...
I know.
Well, then.
Okay. Just a quick comment. I did like, Tess, I liked your comment about the non-discrimination clause or paragraph or policy update. And I think you said it's still permissible under federal law. And the way I read that is it may not be permissible in the future, but that was just my take on how you stated it, more still permissible, believe it or not.
Only in Berkeley.
Okay, is your hand down now, John? Okay, we have some information reports, social media update. Amy Reeder, hi, there she is.
Hi, good evening, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, let me share my screen really quickly. Okay, can you see the presentation all right?
Yeah.
Okay, great. I'm at the library, got a babysitter, good bandwidth, so hopefully this will go well. It's a pleasure to be here tonight to give you just an overview of what social media looks like right now in 2022 here at the library. But just briefly give you a little background history. We have had a social media presence since 2008, but it wasn't a big service focus. It ebbed and flowed. And by 2018, there really wasn't too much going on in terms of social media, not a lot of posts. In 2018, you all and your predecessors commissioned the Masa Adams org assessment. And I noticed when I came to the library that when you read that report, the word communication comes up a lot. In fact, I think it's like over 75 times. So out of that report, they created this position, a communications analyst position. And it was a new role for the library. And that I was hired in 2019. Social media is just one form of outreach that we do at the library. And it's about approximately 10% of my workload at this point. And it can be a very fun part of my workload, which I hope you get to see in just a second. As I came in 2019, I developed two questions that I keep coming back to as I was framing the work ahead. The first is, how do we build a robust presence with the resources that we have on hand, right? Always, and those resources also ebb and flow as throughout the last couple of years. And then and more importantly, how do we create social media platforms that truly reflect and address the diversity of all of our patrons' needs, all of their interests, their communication styles, and their backgrounds in Berkeley? So constantly using those two questions to frame the work. It came up with three core goals for social media here. The first is that social media should be a billboard of our library offerings. Oh, can you guys hear me okay? I can shut the door. It's okay.
Okay.
The copier machine is coming alive. Okay, good. The first main goal is that it should be a billboard of what we do at the library. So what I mean by that is if you go on our Facebook or our Instagram accounts and you start scrolling back from the last few days, last few weeks, last few months, hopefully you should get a good understanding of what kind of events we have, what kind of collections we have, both our physical collections and our e-collections, our e-resources. And you should also see pictures of inside the library as well and some of our staff so that you fully understand all the different service points that the library has to offer. So primarily a billboard. Secondly, it's a customer service point. So I have this belief that if we are doing proper social media response, that we can have the same sort of engagement that we have at the desk. And that is even more so now that direct messaging, like DMing, is becoming more and more popular. So if somebody asks a question, a comment, say there's an event of like some program, this just happened. There was a Cal Falcon program. And someone said, oh, did you record this for YouTube? And I just commented back, one second, let me check with the librarian. We did. I posted the link for YouTube, blah, blah, blah. That's one service point. And that's just like one comment. But in direct messages, it often becomes a back and forth and a longer term conversation. And so it really does become building relationship with folks. And as you may know from some of the younger folks in your life, direct messaging is, they're not going to send us an email. They're not going to call us, you know, they'll DM us. The third main goal that I have is to entertain, reassure, and delight our patrons. This was super important during the pandemic when we were just doing outdoor services and trying to offer a reassurance that your library truly is here for you. These are all the offerings. We are here, we are in the building, we are working hard for you. And hopefully, you know, when you look at our feeds, hopefully you look at what our offerings are and have a sense of pride, like, hey, that's my library, that's Berkeley Public Library. Those are the three goals. What did I need to do first when I got here? First things first, always compliance and policy reviews. So some of those policies were, for instance, policy that Bolt had around social media. There's also City of Berkeley policies that was important for me to make sure we were compliant with around social media, but also around staff etiquette, also around photography, those kinds of things. So making sure that we had those nuts and bolts in place. And this all happened concurrently, but next up on this bullet point is social media plans, both for Elliot and for Tess, multiple social media plans, and then getting a reporting structure in place. Because if you don't have a reporting structure, how do you know what you're doing right? And how do you know what you need to work on, right? So the way the reporting structure looks right now with Tess is that I give her a monthly report as well as an annual report. I had to get the regular tools of the trade in place. One important thing when I first got to the library was I noticed that our pictures, we really needed some crisp, clean, high quality pictures of a diversity of patrons too, but the staff didn't have a way to take pictures at events that were high quality that we could use in promotions and in other kinds of outreach. So we got DSL cameras. I worked, thank you, IT. Thank you very much, Alicia. And her team, we worked and got these cameras, which were invaluable because we did this right before the pandemic hit. And then when our staff was pivoting to virtual programming, they were able to use those cameras, high quality cameras, to do the virtual programming. And since then, we've gotten even more. I also needed a City of Berkeley phone because on some of those platforms, especially Instagram, you have to do it on a mobile. They built it out so you can't do it easily on a desktop. In terms of software, Shutterstock is a photo database with like tens of millions of photos. And it was really important for us to get a paid subscription to that, because I have this, when you see an image coming from the library, you want those images to reflect you, right? So when I say that, I mean anything from your skin color, to your age, to your body size, to, you know, how you get around in the world. We needed a good resource to be able to have pictures of folks that are the folks who are actually, represent the folks who are actually using our libraries, our Berkeley residents. And so Shutterstock was invaluable to have that. That database, which I use all the time in social media, but staff use it in other ways too. Canva is the software that we use for graphics. Sprout is a software that we use for just social media management in general. And it's actually a foundational piece of our social media program right now, because what it does is it enables staff to create posts that then come to me for approval. And then I will just tweak or add suggestions or I'll go ahead and improve it. And then it goes out into social media world. I schedule it. And the reason that is so key is because if we have a staff person who's like, hey, I'm curious about doing social media, this empowers them to know that whatever they are wanting to create, I'm there to support them and help them. And then if something happens and there's a typo or something, it's my fault. It's on me, right? The buck stops with me. So it's actually a way of an empowerment tool so that folks can feel like they are comfortable contributing. Also, it's so good to pull reports from Sprout. It's a great report generating tool. And the last key software that we have in place now is something called Archive Social. One of the things about social media is that even if I took screenshots or saved every post that I posted or I, you know, copy and pasted every comment that we made, or every you know, direct message back and forth with some patron, I still don't have the metadata behind it, which is the metadata is the stuff that if we get public record act requests and things like that, we need that kind of stuff. And it's these software companies are very, platforms to do this kind of archiving with the metadata are super expensive. But when I was working in the EOC for a long time, right, during COVID, I got to know people, and I got to know the information officer at the police department, and they were already using this. And Nika, our fiscal services manager, helped me work out a deal with the police department that we could sort of piggyback on their contract, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, that's also part of the compliance piece of the puzzle that needed to be in place. These fundamental building blocks needed to be here for us to be able to grow social media program in a government setting. And then one of the funnest parts of my job is re-envisioning how staff can be involved and enjoy doing social media with me. So more on that in a sec. So once those fundamental pieces were in place, let's talk about what actually is happening day to day. The two platforms that we're on is Facebook and Instagram. We stay on Facebook because it's a legacy platform. We have plenty of followers on there and people still actively engage. So we remain on Facebook. When you're on Facebook, you know, you can comment, you can do the little thumbs up, like, you can have different reactions. On Instagram, that's is the one that has definitely more than doubled in the last couple of years. Instead of doing little thumbs up, like, you know, you do your little hearts saying that you like the picture. I can talk about this stuff forever. I won't bore you too much tonight, but the other platforms that we have considered, for instance, Twitter, we had an old defunct Twitter that hadn't been active. And I thought about reviving it, but really Twitter, comments on Twitter, if you've ever been on there, it can get out of hand really quickly. And this is only a small part of my job. And if we had other people on social media that could help monitor, maybe we would be on Twitter. And the same with a few other platforms that are very time heavy, I guess. But for now, we're having a robust presence on both Facebook and Instagram. I post at least 3 times a day, Monday through Friday, and the kinds of content we post are like library announcements, like, you know, this week it was Memorial Day. We were closed for Memorial Day. So the buildings are closed, but why don't you check out the e-library and you can always read a book there. Those kinds of posts, library announcements. Library events is the bulk of our posts because we were having, just wait till you guys see what's happening in June at the library. We're doing some really great programming, lots of library events, postings. And also a key piece of posting is library collections, both physical and online e-collections, and then our e-resources and databases. Then when we have time and interest and collaborative time with staff, I'll do special campaigns with them where it would be maybe a week long or maybe every other week for a few months or a month long campaign where we can focus and expand what's happening on social media. I'll show you a couple examples of special campaigns in a sec. So on this slide, you can see an example of like Chess Club. That's an event promotion, a physical collection promotion. This one at Claremont, that's the first slide saying, here's what the current book displays are. And then if you scroll through, you would see all the different books that are on display that staff make. So that's promoting our collections, talking about Canopy, a streaming service. Look, story time is rained out. And then this one I just popped in from this week. We do a lot of community collaborations. For instance, I think I mentioned already the Falcons program. Mm-hmm. They wanted to then have our support in getting the word out about the naming contest, which, you know, these are beloved Berkeley institutions. So we did that. And here's some examples of the special campaigns we do. So we've had like three scavenger hunts now. We have had, when we debuted the culinary tools, we had a whole month long of a post a day about a different culinary item. We were doing Monday poetry pauses, just especially, you know, having that moment on a Monday to just read a beautiful poem curated by a staff member. And then during adult during National Poetry Month in April, we had a patron submission contest, and that was really fun because we even involved the teen librarians, and we had teens submitting poems, and we were posting their poems. So that was a special campaign. And then I don't think I saw Kathy log in yet, but the Foundation and Berkeley Symphony did this wonderful virtual story time that we all collaborated on. So that's example of, there was three seasons of that. And then we do ongoing special camp. The weekly Sky Report is one of our librarians puts together this whole list and chart of like what you can see in the Berkeley skies every week using one of our telescopes that you can check out from the library. So that's an example of a special collaboration. Let's see. Oh, so here's my slide of all the folks over the last 2 years who have helped with social media. And this can be like, for instance, like Eve and Heather and Dan and Shaney, like back when I was in the EOC primarily and didn't have the bandwidth to be doing social media, they stepped in and were able to send me content so that we could post it pretty quickly during that very, very, very intense time that we all remember. Cindy Kumana, this is a kind of a funny story. Cindy is over at South. She saw that we had been posting all of these posts with like librarians' cats. Librarians would send me pictures of their cats with their like a book they're reading. And I co-opted, there was a hashtag called Monday Meow already in existence, you know, that people use, thousands of people use, but we're using it to like promote the collections. And Cindy direct messaged me, right? DM me, she didn't email or call, saying, what's with all these cats? I have a turtle. Can I send you a picture of my turtle with a book? And I'm like, yes, we could do a Turtle Tuesday. So that's an example of staff participation. Erica Glenn does all the, or leads the virtual story time on Wednesdays. And the ones, the names that are bolded, Sierra, Casey, Kelsey, Julia, Raylene, and Elaine, those are the folks who have undertaken big chunks of working on, like Casey and Sierra did the scavenger hunts with me. Kelsey is really great about giving me fun posts about Libby and online resources. Raylene helped with, came up with the idea to do like a library snapshot campaign where it was like a day in the life at the library kind of thing. So those are folks who have been consistent contributors. And what happens in that case is I work with their supervisor to make sure that we can truly carve out time, because even though you think social media is like, oh, just get a cute picture and put on a caption, it actually takes a lot of time and effort to make sure that we are it takes a lot of time and effort. So one of my jobs is to make sure that supervisors understand what folks are getting into and then support everyone along in the process and collaborate with them. I could talk more about our staff all day, but let's move on. So how do you know how we're doing? I was like, okay, what shall I share? And this is, I just pulled our annual report that I had given to Tess earlier in this year. This is the 2021 by our numbers. You can see in the statistics that in terms of how many times I posted or commented on something that a patron had commented on, or did those direct messages, those private messages back and forth, that activity increased by almost 400% last year. And in response, patrons, their activity, the same kind of activity, which is like commenting on a post, liking a post, sending a message, that sort of stuff, their engagement was up by almost 300%. Last year, on average per day, 1,000 people saw a post of ours or some content of ours on Facebook, and 900 people a day on Instagram saw at least one of our posts. Overall, the audience growth was up by 96%. And what's actually super interesting to me about our audience is that it really is local. It's not, with social media, you know, of course, we do have people from all over the world who will comment and follow our posts. Like, I've even used Google Translate to respond to a comment that was made in Turkish. So being like, I'm doing Google, you know, that kind of stuff. And we do have people from New York and Boston that follow us regularly too, but our core followers are actually in the Bay Area, and not just the Bay Area, primarily East Bay. So Berkeley, of course, but also, you know, Albany, San Leandro, some Contra Costa, Oakland. It's really, that's a really lovely, I think, statistic, because it means that we are serving the folks who use Berkeley Public Library. And so that was last year's numbers. The most recent month report that I have is April, because today is June 1st and I haven't done the May numbers yet. But in terms of how much activity on my end, on the library's end, we had 467 posts or likes or comments on our end. Patrons responded with 148 pieces of activity for the whole month. Both on Facebook and Instagram, almost 40,000 people saw us on each platform, some of our content. 40,000 different people, unique people. And then in terms of new followers, which I put in parentheses, all organic, because we don't go and buy, this is all like people follow us because somebody has shared a post and they're interested, or they're new to Berkeley and they just signed up, or they just saw somebody comment and they thought, oh, I'll see what, I didn't know my library is on Facebook, blah, blah, blah. So new followers last month was 18 on Facebook and 41 on Instagram, which is a little bit lower than we usually get, but still steady and fair for organic growth. So that was last month's report. The top three posts from last month was, the first one was a bilingual story time. And you might've seen Rudy Tapia's name on the last slide. Whenever I have a post in Spanish, that's like, for instance, his contribution, I'll send him, am I watching the Spanish? And you know, so this was the number one post on Facebook. The second number one was post, thank you, friends. The friends had tagged us in a sale that they were doing during Banned Books Week, and I reposted, and it was the number two post. And then look, our superstar Eve was our number three post. So I mentioned that we were doing like this library snapshot, like a day in the life special campaign with Raylene. And this was the Central's day, and Eve's got more comments and more likes. It was number three on Facebook. So she's our social media star, our influencer. sorry to embarrass you, Eve. So on Instagram, on the top three posts that we had were, this was like a in the moment picture of Taco Tuesday at Claremont. And you can see I had to put little smiley faces over the teens, just because it was such a cute picture. And you know, they're minors, of course, I couldn't get their release form still, and I still wanted to post it. So I put the smiley faces on, and that was the number one post on Instagram. This middle post is advertising this event. And this is actually an example of how I work with staff. So the person who is the librarian who was organizing this event was saying, wasn't sure what to post other than making, you know, a cute slide that has a taco or something like that. And I spoke with her and I'm saying, so what is your concern? Like, who are we trying to reach? And she was saying, well, there might be Willard teens, because we were trying to get Willard middle school teens to over to Claremont, that might not know where Claremont is, because even though there is this sign on Ashby, as we all know, it's tucked, you know, it could be tucked away. If their families weren't, you know, often coming to the library, how would they know? So my suggestion was like, oh, okay, well, let's just show them how close it is to come and get free food. And so this is a post that evolved from that conversation, and it was the number two on Facebook in April. And then this third post is from, there was a comment, a question asking, oh, it was one of those gray Mondays in Berkeley, and someone asked, oh, is the fireplace on at Claremont? And I called over to Claremont, and Pema answered the phone. She said, why, yes, it is. And she's so cool. She was willing to take a picture. So then I randomly just posted, yes, come by the library. The fireplace is on. It's cozy on this gray day. And it was the number three post on Instagram. So you can, that maybe gives a little sense of how diverse the content creation can be. And just to wrap up, social media in 2022, right now, is one of the best things that I get to see all the time is how much people love the library. The comments that we get, this was particularly true when we were doing outdoor services to during the pandemic, but we just get so much library love. We get so many comments. I love my library. My library is the best. I'm so proud. It was a lifesaver during the pandemic. Really, we get these all the time. And I'm the one who sees this and like, okay, how can this get to staff so that they can feel the love too, you know, other than just seeing it in our internal newsletter. So with the help of Eve and Vlad, we put it on our intranet, which employees have to log into if they're like needing to download their time card or they're looking up somebody's phone number or, you know, it's basically our warehouse for all things library. And now on that homepage, this is a screenshot of that homepage. They can see all the library love. And now we now add in library love that we get from emails or people still handwrite us letters. So we'll scan in and mail them. So we will scan in the hand and we add that in. But it came from all the beautiful social media comments. So yeah, thank you for this opportunity just to give you the scoop. And I'm eager to hear all of your questions and your ideas and your comments now, but I also would love your wisdom at any time. So please don't hesitate, email, call. I really am, it's an honor to be in this role and to be able to serve our community in this way. And I would value all your insight and your wisdom and your questions now and in the future.
John, your hand is up.
Yes, it is. I don't have any questions, Amy. Reader, Ms. Reader. But I want to thank you for the presentation and your, what's the word? Enthusiasm. It's kind of infectious. It's very nice. It's very nice. You obviously enjoy what you're doing. Or are a very, very good actor. but thank you. Thank you for the work. Thank you for the presentation. Thank you for our presence on social media, for the library's presence and all that you do. Thank you.
Hear, hear. Yeah, well done.
I am seeing that the Trustee Green had her hand up and then I think Trustee Davenport did.
Okay.
Thank you. That was an excellent presentation. So I noticed that what you said is that the growth has been organic, and I know that you can do some geofencing to try to reach out to new audiences. So do you ever do that kind of advertising, or in term like think of it as an outreach tool to actually get new sort of patrons that aren't necessarily connected to the library at this time?
Definitely in terms of techniques, like for instance, like one of the easiest ways to be able to do that I've discovered, or the most effective, is to as often as possible to tag as many organizations as possible, because that way you show up in their feeds and they will repost you and that sort of stuff. Or even if somebody comments, it may on what we say, then it can show up and it just feeds into the algorithm. So that's one sort of like in the trenches way of doing it. Other ways of doing it, I would say, is I don't do this very often, but when I do use, like, there's a way that you can boost different posts and, mm-hmm. you know, pay, and it's nominal, but it's still, you know, it's still public money. So I don't do it very often, like once every maybe 3 months or so, but trying to use those ads on different types of posts, right? So you can, when you do those ads, you can focus in on where you want them. You can even like do it by age ranges and things like that. And if it's just people, followers on your page, or if it's like friends of followers, that kind of thing. And I do that tool, again, not too often. So our finance team doesn't say, Amy, what are you doing? But when I do it on a variety of different kinds of posts. It's anything from like, I would boost a virtual story time, or I would boost like a science program from Cal, or trying to do that kind of way of getting into reaching new folks. And then another way to do it is just to call out in the post and just ask to say, hey, will you share this, especially with teens? Because one of the things we talk about a lot with teens is if we're not on Snapchat or Discord or things like that, which is very quick, time sensitive. And there's also all these conversations about being in teen spaces, blah, 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 blah. But if we're not on those particular platforms for whatever reasons, we're also trying to not just reach those teens, but the teens in their life. So, hey, do you know a teen that would like to go to Taco Tuesday? So that kind of, those have been some of my sort of like in the trenches strategies to do that.
Okay, thanks.
Diane's hand is up.
Thanks. This has been great, Amy. Thank you so much. One of the ways I use it and got using it more was during the pandemic when I couldn't go to the libraries and I wanted to know more of what was happening. And now I use it just because it's so easy. I can, in the morning when I'm up, I tend to get up really early, I can go online in my pajamas and see what's going on at the library and at so many different levels. I mean, I used to pride myself on knowing in great detail what the library is doing, but you guys are doing so much more and it's so exciting. I loved the photographs of the staff. You know, I like the scavenger hunts. I'm always in there saying, oh, where's that? So it's just a great way for me as a board member to keep in touch with the library. So I really appreciate it just from that level. So thanks for all that you do and that all the staff do helping you do it too. Great work, great work.
I do not see any more hands up. Great job, great report. Very energizing.
Yeah,
it was great.
Great.
All right. So next up, we have the library director's report, Tess.
Thank you very much. And I also want to thank and acknowledge Amy. Social media, of course, is only one component of what she does. She definitely assists all of us in terms of making sure that we're communicating clearly, both to the public and also internally. And one of the things that I've noticed that she's added and she's very conscientious about is whenever there's a new initiative, you know, whether it be, gosh, something like, you know, launching the laptop lending program and making sure that everyone had the details, the way that she systematically checks in with project teams of staff and, you know, reminds people and sort of helps people communicate more proactively so that people are tracking what's happening and aren't surprised by things. Of course, communication and organizations can always improve, but I just want to acknowledge that her role in that respect has been really important as well. I also just want to mention that I noted that Trustee Hahn needed to leave. And of course, we still have a quorum, but I just wanted to note that she needed to say goodnight. So somewhat briefly, I heard in Trustee Davenport's comments, just her acknowledgement of the recruitment efforts that have been underway. Thank you for that. I really do want to thank and appreciate our HR analyst who, you know, has just been so impressive in terms of her efficiency and also maintaining a high level of communication with staff and all of the candidates who are constantly in contact with her, asking questions, you know, as to the status of their application, things like that. So we're so excited that we have been able to bring 12 new people on board in 1 month. And it's been very intensive in terms of onboarding activities. And we're really excited because we're planning on having a sort of, if we can do some kind of in-person outdoor welcome session for the new people, we will be doing that. I think it'll be June 15th, just so that they can meet each other as well, because they're all in different departments and different locations. And we want to create a sense of community, not just with the existing staff, but with the people who are coming into the organization. we're really noticing already just how much expertise this cadre of people has. And, you know, it's just wonderful. We're getting some folks with language skills, native Spanish speakers. We, you know, of course, we have a lot of staff in different positions that do have these skills. It's really important to have librarians as well that reflect, I think, all of these different backgrounds. And so that's really exciting. The person that we hired to support cataloging is fantastic. You know, he has a lot of expertise. He also has Spanish and other language skills. So it's just really impressive. And because we're in the Bay Area, it's because we are, of course, recruiting people from other places. And I'm sure that this will be visited upon us at some point as well. But we'll do our best to focus on retention because it's really important. And we do have our social services specialist will be starting next month. So I can't announce who they are, but we're really excited about being able to put that program into place. And this candidate just has incredible background experience in terms of the outreach work that she's done. And I just think it's going to help immensely. We also, of course, are still recruiting for the library services manager, and the deputy director recruitment was initiated. But I think more importantly, in terms of being able to restore our full hours, we will be initiating the library assistant and library specialist recruitments, which are really critical to our being able to get back to our regularly scheduled operating hours. So we're very excited about that. But we're talking about another marathon for Mai, and we'll need to make sure that we support her in that work because it will be intensive. Of course, you have heard or received a number of notifications from me just with respect to the surge that we're experiencing with COVID. Unfortunately, I haven't even been able to send the notification. We did receive, there is another staff member that was impacted that we received notice about today. So that is five positive infections within the space of less than 2 weeks. So I believe that just in terms of the number of positive infections and the amount of time, that's the highest we've had. And I think that it's just representative of what's happening in the community and the incredibly high rates of infection that we're seeing in basically everywhere, and especially schools, which has been, I think, really impactful, again, on all of the staff members that are parents and have concerns about their kids in school as well. So we're seeing the impacts just like other places. Another comment that I made to one of you is that one of the things that occurred with our staff is, I think during the first year of the pandemic, a lot of people were not taking vacations. I think it was this time of just, it was so strange and unknown, and people couldn't really take maybe the vacation they would have wanted to. And so really we've seen a buildup of folks who have not had, you know, who have not been taking a solid vacation. And one of the things that I've been communicating is people just need to do it. And it means that sometimes, you know, we may have to make revisions in terms of our operations, but we can't wait. This is a benefit that people earn and they deserve to take. And especially after having such an exhausting experience working and sort of being alive throughout all of this, we're just encouraging people to go. Right. And we will make the adjustments that we need to. But I think that's a really important thing to reinforce with people, especially now, as this appears to be continuing, and we have to make sure that we're healthy and we're able to sustain ourselves through this. And so that is what I've been communicating to staff. In a completely different vein, I do want to follow up on this comment that I made in the director's report about the audit recommendations. This is something that I believe that Trustee Green was not sitting on the board when this audit report was first provided in 2020. It was a very thorough report completed by the city auditor's office, head by Jenny Wong. And there were a number of different recommendations that were made. I have linked to the report, which is also available just on the City of Berkeley auditor's website. One of the things that's very exciting is that the auditor's office is going to launch a new online tool where people, the residents, or really anyone will be able to look up and see the status of audit recommendations, specific recommendations, and see what kind of follow-up has occurred, which I think is a pretty amazing step towards transparency and accountability. And in our case, we were able to accomplish one of the main recommendations that was made in this report. It was recommended that we finalize and establish a true reserve policy, which we were able to do last year. So that recommendation was addressed. There are some recommendations that are going to take some time to implement. And I think the most substantive recommendation really was that the library, should have a strategic plan in place to ensure that there's accountability and transparency in terms of how we're applying taxpayer dollars towards library programs and services and operations. And so fortunately, we've initiated that process. We have issued our RFP as we discussed in prior meetings. And so that will mean that we'll be able to show the status of our work towards that particular recommendation in their report. There were a couple of other things that need to occur that we're planning for. One was an update just in terms of communication around collections, which we will be providing, I believe, in the month of September, a more comprehensive report on collections at the library. But there was another item that I will need to propose for discussion, and will likely propose that we add to a future agenda for the Board of Library Trustees. And that is, there was a recommendation that there be specifically a workshop on budgeting, sort of public sector government budgeting, specifically for the Board of Library Trustees. And although we've had, and again, the recommendation, it was supposed to occur separately from a regular board meeting. So it would be almost like a separate training session. And I believe that that's still something that we could do in the context of a retreat. We could possibly bundle that training with the first installation of EDI training that our racial equity team is going to be recommending. Mm-hmm. And maybe we could have a workshop, you know, for 3 hours where we do those two trainings or something like that. But I did want to bring this up more specifically because I noticed that it was called out in the auditor's report and the budget workshop has not occurred. And so I wanted to flag that for your attention because I still think that in reviewing the other recommendations, I think that was one that was outstanding that is achievable and I think would make sense to do if we identified, the right person to do it that would make it succinct, but still relevant and address, I think, the needs of our current board. Mm-hmm. So I did want to mention just the status reports on the auditor's recommendations are going to be launched, and I will share the link with you once it's available on the website so that you can link in and see, you can go into the tool that they will be providing and see what the status is on these recommendations. I do want to add just before I conclude that despite the challenges that staff has had in terms of maintaining regular operations, people have just been doing a phenomenal job providing service. And I was so happy to see how many librarians were able to get out and spread the word about summer reading. Our outreach in terms of teens and also children, I didn't highlight the children's outreach is specifically in the report, but they were all able to get out and do class visits, or they were able to do online visits in some cases. The schools were facilitating the librarians' ability to do both. And this is a really important part of building the excitement around summer reading is You know, it takes a special person to get kids and youth excited about reading books. And one of the comments that one of our supervisors made, she this new librarian, our teen services librarian at the Central Library, Brianna Melly, had just started the day before. And, you know, Heather invited her to come to Berkeley High School to do a class visit. She didn't have the expectation that this librarian would just jump in there. She was just going to have her watch and do how she felt comfortable. And she said that Brianna just took over and that the students were transfixed and they were just like listening very closely to what she was saying and how she was talking about these books. And I thought that was really lovely to hear, you know, just the confidence and expertise that this person that Brianna brought to that moment was really great. And I think that that's the difference that those in-person or even online visits make. It's the personal connection that the students mm-hmm. have, and also seeing someone that they can relate to, get excited about things that they want to read is so important. So apologies for that summer reading commercial, but I love outreach and I love hearing about staff making successful connections through outreach. I also just wanted to bring your attention to this really incredible series of computer classes that our adult services team has coordinated that are free. And this is a really important way, I think, to help people build confidence and feel like they might be able to explore a different kind of pathway, perhaps to employment. And it's quite an extensive list of classes and it's in the report, so I won't go into it. But you know, the fact that this expertise really just, there's so much of it in our community. And there's so many of these people, you know, either community college students or Cal students that want to give back and want to volunteer and provide this kind of learning opportunity to people is one of the things that I think is really exciting about working in Berkeley and trying to look at what kinds of partnerships we can develop where we're connecting people with that experience to people that may not have that opportunity, you know, to pay for coding school or something like that. So just wanted to mention that it was really extensive. I'm really impressed by that team's work around that. And with that concludes my report. I will pause and ask whether you have questions for me.
I'm not seeing any hands. That was great. It's the breadth of what the library provides for all of the citizens. It's really, it never ceases to amaze me. It's just great. Yeah. Yeah. I'd like to plug my own personal favorite program, which is Canopy, which has unbelievable movies all the time. Yeah, they're just, it's just a great service, especially if you're a movie buff, which I am. Yeah. Anyone else? Good report. Good work.
Yeah.
Let's see. Could that be it?
Yeah.
Oh, items for future agendas. Okay. Well, there is one coming out from the closed meeting. There is an agenda item for the next board meeting, and we've formulated the proposal. And we will let you know what you need to know for that. Okay. All right. Anybody? Diane?
With all of the talk of book banning going on, I wonder if the library could sort of give us a lesson in the Freedom to Read Act and what the process would be to actually get a book banned in Berkeley and the protections around that. Because sometimes it sounds like it's so easy to do. And I think the libraries do a great job in protecting the public's right to read. And I would just like not a long refresher on that, but to know what's currently going on.
Yeah, that's a great idea. And I actually still have an iRead banned books at the Berkeley Public Library button. I don't know if any of those are still, it's on my purse. It's with me all the time. So yeah, I think that's a great idea. I don't think that's going away anytime soon. Okay, John, your hand, and I see Tess, your hand is up.
Yeah, before I, do you guys, is my video on for you guys?
Yeah.
Yes.
Because it's not showing me to myself, which is really odd. So I don't know what, again, there's always something that goes.
You might want to ask your wife about that or something.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Your IT maybe person.
No, yeah. Diane, I think it's tired of looking at me. It's just tired of, you know, who needs to look at this guy anymore? anyway, Diane, thank you for that suggestion. And partially to answer your question, in a lot of places, it's the Board of Education that are banning books for school uses. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily libraries or municipalities. Yeah. Mm-hmm. In many, many, many places, it's the Board of Education.
Yeah.
True. Okay, Tess, your hand is up.
I just wanted to mention that, in fact, this is much more operational, less interesting, but we do, in fact, need to bring this before you because Bay and I, the collections manager, were looking at the document for a different reason. Because of course we do want to bring before you the collection policy, but we noticed that a component of the collection policy is the process for requesting a review of an item in the collection for consideration for withdrawal. And we realized that there's an actual problem with the policy that's currently linked to that we need to fix. So there's an important functional reason to bring this before you as well, because that really needs to be addressed. And I will say that just some people think that this kind of thing, you know, just depending on the climate, it may be less frequent here, but I think that it's interesting. It's not necessarily less frequent. It's that people are commenting or asking for review for entirely different reasons. Mm-hmm. Than might be coming up in some other places. And that's something that I think would be interesting for us to share with you as well.
Mm-hmm. All right. I do believe we're ready to adjourn. Can I have a motion?
Motion to adjourn.
John.
Second.
Okay, Diane. And the roll call?
Amy Roth?
Yes.
Diane Davenport?
Yes.
Beverly Green?
Yes.
And John Soloski?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good meeting, everybody.
Great. Well done.
Thank you, Amy. Yeah. Thank you all.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Bye-bye. Take care.